Hi, and welcome to Mountain View Church. Special welcome for you who are joining us online today. We hope that you're all blessed, both online and at home and here, that the Spirit touches you and that you have an encounter with the living God. First announcement is there will be no Bible study Wednesday. So we'll have the discussion movie night. We'll be coming up on November 26th. And what's the movie again? Amazing Grace, classic. Beautiful movie. Yeah, for sure. The discussion movie on November 26th. The volunteers are needed for the video sound room. So if there's anybody who's interested in that, learning about that, we could use that. And Alpha, I'm excited to announce we're going to be doing an Alpha again. This is more designed for young adults, but everyone's welcome. And you register with Jenna Lee via our website. So that will be starting November 16th. So if you just want a refresher course or you want to just come get to know some people, we will be having food. It will be social distanced. It will be all of the above things. So no Bible study. Don't forget that this week because it's November 11th. Plus, I'm not preaching the next week. We're going to have a Mission Sunday next week, and it's going to be great. I'm excited for that. Well, why don't we quiet our hearts for worship? This morning, once again, we get to stand before God's throne by grace. That's what it tells us, that he tore down the curtain that separated man and God, and he has welcomed us into this relationship. It's an incredible and awesome thing. Today, we're going to learn about what kind of character God has, and you'll see why it's such a special gift to be in his presence. Let us come expecting to encounter God. Let us come expecting for his Spirit to speak to our hearts. And let us come being ready to be changed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your grace abounds, it pours through you. The revelation of you are has come not because we could reach you through our wisdom and our ideologies, but because you chose to become human. Help us to be in awe of that again, that the Creator God of heaven and earth would humble himself to come down into this world of corruption and evil, just so we could be saved. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your Son's name, we ask you to speak to us, to open our eyes and our ears to who you really are, so we can really be the church in this time. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have poured your Spirit upon us. We ask you again to fill us with your Spirit so we may know you from the depth of our heart. Fill this place with your presence. Lord, we come before you as a broken people, a people who intentionally and unintentionally do things that are dehumanizing to others and ourselves, think thoughts that are not worthy of someone like you, who act in ways that point as if we don't believe at all. We ask you to forgive us. Forgive us and release us. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that if out of the cross your blood has cleansed all our sins. And we thank you that you are faithful. Now be in this worship. As we listen, speak to us. As Jason sings, fill him. As the word is being read, let it have life. When the sermon is being preached, may it go beyond even what I meant when I write it to the hearts of people. Lord Jesus, we thank you For you are the one true God worthy of worship. Amen. I just want you to hear these words. Whenever you confess your sins, you want to hear the words of truth, which is this, that every time we confess our sins, both as individuals and as a community, the Bible promises us that He is just and faithful to forgive us. So we are a forgiven community. Amen.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to You. We turn to You. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for You. We long for You. It's when we see You. It's when we see You, we find strength to face the day. In Your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hallelujah. Yeah. heaven come fight for me.
I'm thankful to see that people are starting to use our prayer requests. I believe it's a prayer@mountainviewchurchcolona.ca. And we have somebody available at all times. And we've had some people that have said, listen, can you pray about this? And we don't want it public, and we honor that. And other people who, they want to have the public prayer, and we really respect that. So if you have something that's on your heart, or you know somebody who does, please contact that email. And Jordis, who does just a fantastic job, and I believe that's her gift, if I can say that, will help you with that, all right? Wow, we have lots to pray for this week, don't we? Let's join our hearts together and let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have been so faithful to us, so incredibly faithful to all of us. We worry way too much because you are in control. We doubt way too much because the truth is you know what's coming. We fear too much, Father, because you love us. Give us the faith now, Lord, to believe in you, the God who does interact with your creation, who does bring life and is planning to bring new life completely. Help us to believe again that you want to listen to us, that you command us to pray. Help us to believe that this is a truth that comes forth and that you do act. Lord, we think about what's going on in America and we can't help but just want to pray that your will be done, that your kingdom come, that the church there be a witness of unity when the world is divided. Lord, we pray that you will keep people safe. Lord, we pray for our town and BC with COVID numbers going up. We pray you protect people, that you give people wisdom. We thank you for the leadership of our country and our province. We pray for them, that they will do what is just and wise. Lord, we pray for Carrie. We ask you to continue to bless her in her healing process. We pray for Ramona. We thank you that she's out of the hospital, but we pray you continue to pour herself upon you. Lord Jesus, we pray, continue to pray for your little Gianna, that she continues to get stronger through this process. Lord, we pray for the children of this church who can't meet but are meeting online. We pray you watch over them. We pray for the youth group that your spirit leads. We pray for the Alpha, that you would bless it, that you would bring community in there. Father, we thank you that you are so faithful. And now we lift up that which is on our hearts to you. Lord, we know you are gracious and good. You are kind. And we thank you for listening to our prayers. Now together we pray as you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. O, guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. Our New Testament message is from John 13, verses 1 through 20. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that had been tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet, Jesus." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly, I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So when I chose this text to preach today, I thought, well, you know, with the election coming, it might be a good sermon. Wow. Yeah. It's an important sermon. I don't know if it's social media. I don't know. But there is more passion for American politics in Canada than I've ever seen in my whole life. I'd say 80% of my Facebook friends probably are Canadian, and they post all nonstop about these two figures who will never know their names. And it's affected everybody. I went online as I was preparing this because I had heard a story about a family in conflict over politics in the United States, and I hit this in Google, and then this list of stories, pages long, about this phenomenon. One said this, "You are no longer my mother." This is an article from Reuters. "A divided America will struggle to heal after the Trump era." Apparently she had told him that she was going to vote for Donald Trump, and he said that he disowned her. Claudia Conway, whose mom I believe works for Trump and dad not so much, is so furious at her mother Kellyanne is to speak at the Republican National Convention that she says she's officially pushing for emancipation from her family. So you've got a son that's abandoning his mother and a daughter his mother. Even the people on the media, this is Don Lemon, he's of CNN. "I had to get rid of them," the New York Post quotes him. Says he's cut Trump supporters out of his life. He no longer wants to have friends with those type. The most interesting one was this dude I'm done, talking about friendships that have ended. And it's from the NPR. "When politics tear families and friendships apart." You know, I heard about the 60s. Do you remember the 60s? I caught the tail end. I was born October 15th, 69, so I just caught the last bit. And I don't have much memory. Thank you. But I knew from history that when the Vietnam War was going on, families wouldn't talk to each other forever. And there's one story I remember of meeting a guy who was a draft dodger, I believe it was called, right? He had been up in Canada for years. I was in my early 20s, and he was working on a roofing crew with me when I was going to university. And I asked where he was from, and I just said, "Oh, that's unusual that you're from wherever, let's say California, I can't remember now." And he says, "Well, yeah, I've been here for this long, and I can't go back." And I said, "Oh, why not?" And he goes, "Well, there's nothing to go back to anyways." And then he went on to tell me that he and his father had had a big fight. His father supported the war, and he didn't, and his father disowned him. It's not new, is it? Is that sad or what? That's why we need Jesus, and that's why we need these scriptures today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've been faithful to us. By nature, we take things like politics and religion and ideologies and we hate even those who've loved us the most. It just betrays our cold and hard hearts. We pray that you will show us through this scripture how important this is, and make us a people who follow you, not this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today's story, of course, is the famous washing of the feet. Everybody knows that, and it's a nice, humbling thing that Jesus does with his people, but most people don't understand it, actually. See, here's what most people think of as the Last Supper, right? This is the famous Da Vinci's Last Supper. And isn't that pretty? They all look so nice up there. Notice they're all Caucasian, just in case you're wondering. Apparently there were a lot of Caucasian Jewish people in that time. And you'll notice that, you know, they look and they're sitting at a nice table and hanging out and having bread. One looks a little surprised, but it's pretty clean, right? They all look pretty happy. Well, the real disciples were nothing like this. And understanding the real disciples will help you understand how powerful the foot washing was. You see, the people that followed Jesus were an odd group to put together, and yet Jesus chose them. Let me give you an example. We have Matthew the tax collector, right? Now, do you know what a tax collector was in the ancient world? He would have had to go up to the Roman leadership and bid on the right to collect taxes. And what that meant is to tax his own people and give half to the Romans. Now, once he had collected that 50% from the Romans said, you can take as much as you want for yourself. So it was not the most, moral integrity was not a part of the job. So what that person would do in the name of the Romans, who he worked for, would come to your house and he would ask you for 50%. And if you said you didn't have it, he'd break your kneecaps. And then if you did have it, he'd say, well, I'd like another 15% for me. And this is in sustenance living. And they were hated. And they got rich off their own people. Can you imagine how a Jew saw a tax collector? They hated him. They were Benedict Arnolds. And Jesus went up to that guy and said, I want you to follow me. But then it gets worse. It would be fine if there was just one fringe person. But then he walks over to John the Zealot, the dagger man. He's a completely different dude. He has the Trump flag out the back of the truck. He's got the American flag and probably the Confederate flag. Because he's so into Israel that he wants to kill every Roman that lives. That's why they called them dagger men. They kept daggers on them all the time. Now he's put this person, who the Jews hated, and he put this person who hates Romans together in the same room and said, be my disciples. Then he takes a Judean like Judas, high educated, and someone like Peter, an inarticulate fisherman. That's who's sitting around this table. It's not that. Do you think they liked each other? The only reason they're together, my friends, is because they think that Jesus is going to get them the kingdom they believe in, a kingdom on this earth where they could rule through the temple. They could sit on his right side, which meant be second in command. That's the only reason. And here comes Jesus. To these people that hate each other more than the most progressive Democrat hates the most radical Republican. And he does this. Now before the festival of Passover, so the energy in the city is pumped. There's over 1 million people in that city. They all came longing for that Messiah to come because that's what they believed, that God was going to deliver, just like the original Passover. He was going to deliver them from the Romans and raise up this king, this Mosaic figure, this Moses who was going to wipe them out. And they all came into Jerusalem with this energy, and Jesus has a dinner, and they're thinking, Jesus is that guy, remember? Let's make him king by force. Do you remember that? There's a reason Peter has a sword in the garden, as stupid as it is. Because they really believe this. Now, Jesus knew the hour. The hour in John's gospel has a deeper meaning than the time. It means the hour being the ultimate hour of the crucifixion. That his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own, the disciples, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In other words, to the completeness, teleos, end. It's a beautiful word. And then the mysterious devil shows up, already putting it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. Now this doesn't let Judas off the hook. He had to want it. But remember what Satan offers the empires of the world. And I'm convinced he went into Judas and said, hey, let's go and betray him so he has to build an empire like ours. Judas got tricked. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands again and repeating and that he had come from God and was going to God, does the craziest thing ever. Now, I want to let you know that what he does here is below humiliation in that world. There's a story of a woman who bent down and began to wash her son's feet at an event, and he sued her for humiliating the family. Slaves of Jewish descent never wash the feet of someone else. Gentiles, fair enough. Maybe children, sometimes outcast women, but never Jews. And don't forget that Jesus was seen as this militant figure, this one that's like Caesar. What is he doing? He took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. In other words, he removes the robe, and that's a hint of what's going to happen. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. What was he thinking? What was he doing? Well, he's symbolically doing something here. We're going to find that out. He's doing something deeper than just cleaning their feet for that day. He's pointing to who he is and what he's going to do. Go back to how John uses water. John 2, 6 to 8. Remember the first sign? Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. There's your hint. Has something to do with purification. Each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said, fill the jars with water. Notice that. And he filled them to the brim. He said to them, now draw some out and take it to the chief steward. So they did, and they tasted the water that had become what? Wine. And did not know where it had come from. What does wine represent, my friends? When you're at the Lord's Supper, what does wine represent? The blood of Christ, right? So what he's done in this first sign is point to the truth about what water means for him, water that comes from him. Somehow it's wrapped up in the wine and the blood. So we shouldn't be surprised that this is the only gospel that when the crucifixion happened, listen to this, but when they came to Jesus and they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear and at once blood and water came out. Do you see it? The blood represents the purification. The water to wine, the blood and water. It's all wrapped up that Jesus' blood, his epistle will say, will cover your sin. It's the purification element. So when Jesus is doing this action of washing their feet, he's doing far more than humiliating himself, though he's doing that. He is showing them what's going to happen. Through his humiliation is going to come the purification for humanity. And what's the cross if not the ultimate humiliation for the you get it. It's gone out of my head. Purification of humanity. So he comes to Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter because you know what? Simon Peter would say what we all say if we were the kid in class that had the guts. Because everyone's thinking the same way. What is he doing? Okay, it's not like Simon Peter was worse. But I almost think Simon Peter thought, maybe I can talk him down from what he's doing. He says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Like, what are you thinking? Right? Jesus said, you do not understand what I am doing. They don't understand. It's more than washing feet, isn't it? It represents the purification of their souls. But later you will understand. They will understand finally on the cross, finally after the resurrection, that this is how Jesus cleanses people through humility. Through sacrifice. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. You see the pride coming up. Why not? Because I will not let you be humbled because I want us to have some sort of pride. Jesus answered, and this is a theological truth for all of us. Unless I wash you, you have no The word share is good, but it's actually kind of inheritance with me. In other words, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what that word means. Simon Peter typically doesn't understand. I love Simon Peter because I'm such a doofus at times. I go, you know what? At least he was one too. I have a hope. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. In other words, okay, let's go all in. I want to be the guy that's so for you. Remember Simon Peter? I'll die for you. Simon Peter, the one who believed his own press. Jesus said to him, one who is bathed does not need to wash. Now, why have they been bathed? Because they've been in the presence of Christ. Okay? He's already, by their words, by being around them, it says they've already been cleansed. Except for the feet. That's an interesting one. This idea of cleansing the feet means cleaning that part of you that lives in this world. But is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all you. And we go back to our friend Judas. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, not all of you are clean. Then he says this point that I wish every Christian had on their fridge. Very truly, or truly, truly. In other words, in the Jewish parlance, you better listen to this. When they say things twice in that culture, they're like, this is it. I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. I'm not sure that we always believe that. Has a church always believed that? If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them, if you act like me. And then he says, I know I'm not speaking to all of you. Again, he's going after Judas. I know who am I chosen, but it is to fill the scripture, the one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I think that comes out of Psalm 41. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. He's telling them this truth that he's going to be betrayed and that this is the way to redemption. So on that day, they may believe, because they aren't going to believe right now, because good kings don't die on crosses, because that's humiliating. And he's doing this to show that his kingdom isn't like the kingdoms of this world. And then he says this, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever receives the one I send in this way, that comes in love and sacrifice and emptying of self, receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. In other words, this is the mission the church is to have. Ironically, it's the church is to be a mission of foot washers, the metaphor, of those out to purify sinners, of loving enemies. That's easy, right? That's so easy. And yet we're living in a world where churches won't talk to each other because of Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Where Christians aren't talking to their parents because somebody liked somebody else. By the way, none of those people care what you think once you're done voting. They don't. See, the difference between Christianity and this world is God doesn't like you more because you get the right person right. God likes you more when you are really, truly realizing who you are, and then you get cleansed and treat people like he does. And the first step is to admit we have dirty souls. I always find this a fascinating thing that I get pushback on this. I always find that fascinating, largely because we've been taught, well, you're a good person. I'm fine, you're fine. Just look for that self-identification. Be yourself. Well, I've seen what humans are doing when they're themselves, and they build gulags. Look at history and tell me that humanity, when they're being themselves, is benevolent. You look at one time in history in a country where one group of people, I don't care if they're Marxists or they're capitalists, are saying, you know what, I just want to wash feet. No, we're selfish. And that selfishness gives us dirty souls. Papa John, now this is a foundation. This was our guy. Said, only those who have learned well to be earnestly dissatisfied with themselves and to be confounded with shame at their wretchedness truly understand the Christian gospel. Listen. Jesus Christ is leaving no illusion. If you don't let me cleanse you, you have no share. And the only one who's not going to let them be cleansed is one who thinks, I don't need to. And it seems to me that it's that person who chooses out. Folks, we need be cleansed. We need it. In the core of our being, we need it. There's a component of ourselves that we can't clean, and religion won't do it. Only Jesus Christ. The good old Puritan J.C. Ryle, the blood of Christ can cleanse all away all sin, but we must plead guilty before God can declare us innocent. How many people play religion, but when Jesus actually comes and says, you need to humble yourself and let me cleanse you, say, you won't be doing that to me. I'm just fine. You're lucky to have me on your team, Jesus. And not only do we need to be cleansed that once, here's the other reality. There's a continuous need to be cleansed. Because yes, that once we are forgiven, he washes us, doesn't he? He makes us clean, but we still walk in the dirt of this world, don't we? And if you haven't been affected by the dirt of this world and in your own heart known that that dirt has made you awfully dirty, then you don't know Christianity. Because the closer actually you are to Christ, it seems to me, the more you notice the dirt on your shoes. And he's saying, I'm here to wash that. Think of that. John describes it this way. He's our intercessor. He's our intercessor. He intercedes to clean us all the time. Arthur W. Wink thinks this is what prayer is all about. Prayer is not so much an act as it is an attitude of dependency. Dependency upon God. Prayer is a confession of creature weakness. Yes, of helplessness. Prayer is the acknowledgement of our need and the spreading of it before God to be cleansed. Do you notice how every sermon I confess? Do you know why I do that? Because I need it. First and foremost, I need it. I want to be cleansed before I get in this pulpit because I know I've been walking in muck and poop throughout the week. And a lot of it is stuck on my shoes. Should I said poop? Okay, sorry. They said somebody looking at me like, oh boy, okay. Bovine feces? I don't know. Manure? There, that sounds better. I need this, thus I confess. Not because I want to live in guilt, but because I want to be set free to be clean. And ultimately, everything we're talking about right now goes against this world and the way the world gains power. But you have to understand something. With all the politics going on, I need to say this. I need to say this because I don't think people are understanding how idolatrous they're being right now with their obsession on politics. Our kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. Our kingdom is not like the world's kingdoms. Jesus Christ would not be trying to get votes in Pennsylvania, legally or otherwise. Jesus Christ is not sitting there putting attack ads on people. Jesus Christ would not come and ridicule the leaders. In fact, he lived in a world that was a lot worse, and he doesn't say anything about them. Because he knows his kingdom is way greater than that. And if he talked about him at all, it would make no sense. You see, Jesus Christ's kingdom is the opposite of the world of our politics. It is emptying yourself, humbling yourself. When does he get that crown? On a cross. What was the cross? It was the lowest form of being human in that time. It was humiliation, and that's when he's crowned king. That's a hint and a half to us that following him means following someone who washes feet, not running up to be the next Caesar. Why are we worrying about who the next Caesar is? Honestly, the obsession in the church, it's as stupid as if in a first century Christian was worried whether Nero or Caligula would be the next one in power. It's that stupid. And yet we do it. Am I going to get in trouble here? Please don't leave till the sermon's over. I know this is what the kingdom of God is like because this is exactly what he does. And Paul says it so well in Philippians. Listen to these words. This is God's kingdom. This is how he gains power. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form God, that's what it was, means he was God in form, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. In other words, he didn't try to be the highest thing. Unlike Adam. But what does he do? He empties himself, taking the form of a slave. That's where his kingdom rests. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's our king. That's the king. That's eternity. Therefore, because he's like that, this is the person who God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. You want to be on the right political team in eternity? Then you embrace the cross and washing each other's feet, and you stop hating each other because of tribal politics. Because that's idolatry. So that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That is who the King is. That's how he works. And if you want to be a true person who loves true politics, then you'll follow this king. The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. It beckons us to gamble all, to trust radically, to come and die so that we might live, to give our lives away. The kingdom of God means living in that tension in a world that says all that matters is who you like politically. My experience in the last little bit, online and meeting people, is that people think they're so right that they're acting evil. Let me say that again. They think they're so right that gives them permission to act evil. The people like that in the ancient world were the Romans and the Pharisees, who were so sure they were right, so sure they had God nailed down, that they took this God and nailed him down. I got a feeling if Jesus came in this environment, he'd be hanging on a cross again, and probably by a lot of Christians. It doesn't have to be like that. let us let this story hit our hearts. We can have a whole new life. A life that doesn't reflect the grossness of the media and the social media and this world. A life that is free to be different, and it will reach out to others and change them. The truth is, we are not going to win through voting. We're not going to conquer through getting the right political person. I promise you that. The glory of Christianity is to conquer by forgiveness. That's how his kingdom wins. Can you imagine right now somebody in the political world washing the other team's feet? We should. You see, we should, because within us is the same garbage as within them. That person you hate on the other side is just as sinful as you are, and you are of them. You're not better. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. If you believe that, really, good luck hating someone for liking Trump or Biden. Don't worry about the words. I don't care about that. But this should be the church. Because if this is the church who puts the flag, I love the symbolism, the flag's out of the way, the relationship is more important, isn't it? Whatever your flags are, it doesn't matter. This is the church. And if we actually live like this, so many people will come, because people are sick of this, living in a world of hate and anger. The question still remains, will you let him wash you? And then when he sends you out, will you wash others, whether they receive it or not? This is a world-changing decision. This is a life and death decision. And this represents whether you will have part of him or whether you will reject him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all confess that we get caught up in this stuff. The worldly politics. We get caught up in all of the truths and half-truths that are spewed out against the other side. That we forget that our true king is you, not whoever this month happens to be in power. Lord, let us be reminded by that roofer who never talked to his dad again, who are now both dead, that your eternal life is much different than the politics of this world. Make us a people who will embrace and love, especially those who don't agree. Be with those who've been blinded by the idols to hate their parents, their families, and their friends. And may we be a church who, when people see us loving one another, accepting one another, even though we're so different, they'll say to each other, they've been with Jesus. In your son's precious name. Amen.
Amazing love that welcomes me.
my soul undeserving. And God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour. The dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power.
Oh, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am whole. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory. Jesus' name, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am whole, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved. Jesus' name, highly favored. And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God is so good.
Good news today.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart, and you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
My life, defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. The
song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. 'Cause Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
How do you end this? I'm going to tell you guys something. I have some great news. If you're someone who's already allowed Jesus to cleanse you, you're already on the winning team. You're on the party that's eternal, no matter how you vote. So go in that good news and live the way this king lived. And on that day, you'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.